Well, it's almost good morning, YouTube. It's about, 15 minutes till midnight here in Pineville, Missouri. And I thought I'd just get up, and I was having problems sleeping, so rather than just lay in bed, I thought I would get up and see if we could do something a little bit productive. You know, Scripture tells us that He is going to swallow up death in victory. He's going to swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off of all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Isaiah 25:8-9. Fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Welcome aboard, Charles Munye. Glad to have you with us. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Jeremiah 1:19. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, these are great promises for the people of God, that regardless of what is going on around us, God is our everlasting consolation. In Him we live and move and have our being. Welcome aboard, Mr. Sunday from Liberia, West Africa. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us today. God is our everlasting consolation. Underneath us are the everlasting arms of God. He says, I will be with thee. I will comfort thee. Do not be afraid. He says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for grace. That is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 1 Peter 1:13. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:14, 16, and 17. Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hills, but He is not God of the valleys, therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Well, God is the God on the mountain, and He is the God in the valleys. He's never changer, never changes, and He's immutable. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, we have all of this political conflict going on in the United States between the left and the right. They've got that Hegelian dialectic going on, don't they? You know, we don't have to trust in princes. We don't have to be on one side or the other. In fact, I'm not on either side because they're all corrupt. The Lord is on our side. And we're not to be afraid of what man can do unto us. There's more with us than be with them. We're on the winning side. With banners unfurled, we'll tell the whole world that Jesus is captain and we are his bride. There's none to fear when he is near, though fierce the conflict may be. We'll never give in the fight against sin. With Christ, there is victory. There's more with us than be with him. Lord, open our eyes to see. The mountains around with chariots abound. We're trusting alone in thee. The devil may boast and marshal his host and fight in the battle array. But with Christ in the lead, we're sure to succeed. He's already won the victory. So we have great comfort in knowing Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. I've entitled this little poem. I'm going to do some readings from Poems for Edification, Volumes 1 through 4. I've entitled this My Petition. Dear Lord, the reins of my heart are in your hands. When troubled waters are before me, my enemies obey your command. Who can in thy holy presence stand but those whom thou hast delivered with your mighty hand and chose them in Christ before the world began? Welcome aboard, Benny Green. Glad to have you with us. My hope rests in your finished work and in your Son who gave his life a ransom for many to rescue their souls from death for eternity. What a delight as I trust in your grace and mercy to think that you have chosen me to raise me from death to life and set my soul in Christ at liberty. When I come to stand before your holy throne, may I trust in Christ and Christ alone and abide forever with you, for your blood for me atones. Well, God is mighty. He's merciful. He is just. He has many attributes. He's a God of wrath, but he's a God of mercy. He's a God of kindness, compassion. He never fails and never falters. But you know, one of the things that we must always affirm is that he is real. I know my God is real. He's not the figment of someone's imagination. He is not some mystical character. He came into this earth. He manifested himself in time. He walked the dusty trails of this earth. And he is coming back again with all power and glory and might. And, you know, the Bible is not just another book to sit on your coffee table, you know, for show. The Bible is the living Word of God, the authorized King James Version of the Bible. It is God-breathed. In it can be found the words of eternal life. Whether we believe it or not is the question at hand. The Bible says we are born and conceived in sin, Romans 5. And that all men died in Adam, and all who are made alive are made alive in Christ. The Bible does not say that faith, belief, or repentance saves you, but it does say that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And it does say that all that the Father hath given him will come to him, and all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. The Bible says the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Christ also says you must be born again. Well, either God's word is true or it is not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word reveals to us the Ancient of Days, but it never grows old. Man seeks to change it and ridicule it too, but God's Word is unchanging and most relevant today. How long will the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They deny creation in 6 days and make man the authority and make God their puppet on a string. Well, how long will they say that man has a free will? This is a denial that man is dead in sin. Wesley and Finney and others teach it still today. They say that man has a spark of good in him. Scripture tells us that man is born and conceived in sin. Well, are you in the majority as to what people believe? If you are, my friend, you're probably deceived. Are you more concerned about being accepted by your peers? The Bible teaches us a total different track. Come out of the world, the worldly wolf pack. Put on the whole armor of God, that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and his evil band. Well, if you're weak and weary and heavy laden, then I have good news for you. Jesus tells us in his word for you to come to him, and the only way you can come is if you've been born again. You know, we've heard the King is coming all of our life amid this turmoil and this strife. We anticipate Christ coming at any time and hear him saying, "Well done, my child," and know everything is fine. But until that day comes, we will wait for Christ's return and always share the gospel and our candle always burn. Because of his Holy Spirit always dwelling in our lives, we'll occupy until he comes, splitting the eastern skies. Well, we're talking this morning about the reality of Christ. God's people have been given the faith of Christ. There's no greater gift we could have been given to know that he's died for us and secured for us a place in heaven. that his death gave us the imputed righteousness of Christ. This was his ultimate sacrifice. God the Father looks upon it and says it is finished. It never has to be replenished. So if you're mourning, just remember this. Is there not a balm in Gilead for the heart that is oppressed? Is there not a holy comforter that will give his people rest? Is there not a heavenly breeze that will come from above to cool the fevered brow of one bent so very low? Is there not a bleeding lamb that has all our sorrows took? Is there not a faithful shepherd who gathers his wayward lambs? Is there not refreshing water sent from the great I Am? Yes. There is a balm in Gilead, and a heavenly breeze will blow to cool the fevered brow of the lamb that's bent so low. Yes, there is a faithful shepherd, and his refreshing waters will flow to the discouraged soul. Well, you know, Jesus Christ is there all the time. He's there all the time. We may not feel his presence close to us. We may be going through so many struggles that we want to throw up our hands, but Master, I plead that you would not tarry too long, for I am very weak and really not that strong. If left to my own devices, I would perish suddenly. Master, please don't tarry. Come and rescue me. Master, please don't tarry, or I would be cast down. My sins would overtake me. I'd be laid to the ground. Master, please don't tarry. Come to my help and stay close beside me in the morning, yes, at the break of day. Thank you, Master, for not waiting. You were there all the time, even though this wayward child's eyes are often blind. You told me underneath me were your everlasting arms to sustain me and protect me from all harms. Thank you, loving Master, for letting me see your loving arms are open and always holding me. Well, do you know, there are many that proclaim an iffy salvation. If you do this and if you do that, and if this happens or if that happens. But God is not an iffy person. It's all been fixed. The decree in eternity before the world began was fixed. It was the divine plan. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world to bring salvation, manifested at the incarnation, completed at the resurrection, guaranteeing our glorification and the eternal home with Christ in heaven. You know, there are many things that I don't understand. But this one thing I do know. I know Christ, who has the world in the palm of his hand. I may not know much about physics or chemistry. I may not know much about electronics or electricity. But I know the one who stills the wind and calms the sea. I may not know Hebrew or Greek or quadratic equations, but I know the one who gave me eternal salvation. I may not know important people or celebrities, but I know the one who created them all as well as you and me. I may not know economics or how to get wealth, but I do know the one who grants spiritual health. I may not know false science and heliocentricity, but I do know the one who shed his blood on Calvary for me. I may not know Latin, French, or Portuguese, but I do know the one who made the stars and the trees. Plans. but I do know the one to me who forgiveness grants. So if you think you're wise in all worldly things, only Christ can bring knowledge the world cannot bring. Well, we all get thirsty from time to time. We need something to drink. And sometimes we need some spiritual drink, don't we? Lord, my soul longs for you. How I long for a cool cup of water that will quench my spiritual thirst. Christ gives that living water. It never runs dry. He bought me with his blood. I'm the apple of his eye. When I'm in need of comfort and I'm in need of care, I cry out to my Abba Father, and he is always there. When friends and family forsake me, I can always know that my precious loving Savior, how he loves me so. Thank you, Lord, for placing me where the cool waters flow. Well, are you looking forward to the future? You know, if we look toward the future with just our natural eyes, the future looks dim and we do it despise. But if we look to the future with spiritual eyes, there's nothing grander for us to surmise. Eternal life with Christ, I find a wonderful thought. Oh, what a glorious future for God's people he has wrought. All sorrows, tears, and suffering will forever be gone, and in paradise with Christ my Savior, I will forever live on. Well, what's the proof for all of this? What's the evidence? Everybody wants proof for everything, don't they, anymore? Give us your evidence. Well, Christ's bleeding hands and feet are proof that God the Father's demands were met, foreordained before creation. God's decree was already set. Before you and I were ever born, he was slain, you see. His bleeding wounds and hands and feet were a crucial part of this decree. God's justice was met through Christ on Calvary for such a wretched sinner, and that sinner was me. Thank you, Lord, for suffering in my stead to raise me to new life from the dead. God's works are marvelous and great to think upon. His mercy and his grace we can rely. Our eternal future is better than any past memory. The communion and fellowship with him in the great by and by. But our fellowship is sweet now, even though clouded by a world of sin. Just think how much more precious it will be with him then. Not having this battle between the spirit and the flesh, never again having to contend with evil. And this is all made certain by God's mighty work of redemption, granting us forgiveness and giving us admission. Into the greatest paradise we could ever imagine, he says he's preparing for us a place in heaven. His preparations are perfect and without any taints of sin. Thinking on God's works from the beginning to end is a marvelous exercise for those who have been born again. Well, I hope that this has been comforting to you today. Let us continue to think upon him and his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness. Those of us who realize our own proneness to sin and our own waywardness, look to Christ, who has given us all things. May the good Lord be with you this morning in a special way is my prayer. God bless.